Welcome to the Weekly Digest from Personalized Intelligence, this Tuesday, July 7th, 2026, for our cybersecurity edition.
Our focus today is the erosion of traditional defensive boundaries as the threat landscape shifts from human-driven exploits to autonomous algorithmic aggression. We are moving from a period of predictable reactive security to an era of high-velocity automated attrition.
It's no longer about patching bugs but outrunning code.
Precisely.
A Japanese student was recently arrested after using ChatGPT to exploit a vulnerability in Bandai Channel, allowing them to cancel over 46,000 subscription accounts with what was essentially a prompt. It's the kind of headline that makes you wonder if the next great cyber war isn't being waged by state actors in bunkers, but by teenagers in their bedrooms using a chatbot.
It's part of a much larger, more systemic shift we're seeing this summer. We've moved past the era where AI was just a tool for writing better phishing emails. We essentially entered the era of the AI adversary, where the technology is being integrated directly into the classical attack lifecycle, reconnaissance, vulnerability analysis, and automated execution.
So it's not just a smarter way to trick me into clicking a link, it's an automated end-to-end assassination service for software.
The data tells a story. We're seeing the collapse of the exploit window. To give you a sense of the scale, the time between discovering a vulnerability and exploiting it dropped from 771 days back in 2018 to just 4 hours in 2024. Now, with models like OpenAI's GPT-5.5, we're seeing the automation of the transition from discovery to actual exploit generation. It's been demonstrated validating dozens of local privilege escalation exploits in the Linux kernel and FreeBSD.
4 hours. That's not even enough time for a human to finish their morning coffee, let alone convene an emergency Zoom call with the DevOps team.
We can trace that further. It's creating this new terrifying machine versus machine warfare. The UK's NCSC is already warning that AI-enabled adversaries can compress reconnaissance from weeks into minutes. It's why the British government is moving toward this CyberShield project, a structural shift to a paired red and blue agent architecture, using offensive-style AI to proactively probe and secure infrastructure before the attackers get there.
So the defense is basically just building a bigger, faster robot to fight the smaller, faster robot. It feels like we're just outsourcing our survival to whoever has the better GPU cluster.
It's more than just scale, it's about the fundamental nature of the code. As CyberWire Daily noted, we're shifting from binary computing, where things are either true or false, to fuzzy AI outputs. This makes traditional perimeter defenses, like firewalls, almost useless because you can really build a wall against unpredictable, non-deterministic behaviors. You have to move toward observability, watching what the model does rather than just what you told it to do.
Which sounds incredibly expensive and, frankly, like a nightmare for anyone trying to maintain a budget.
It is.
And the complexity is exploding. Look at the Jade Puffer ransomware operation. This wasn't just a script, it was an autonomous LLM agent capable of real-time error correction. During one attack, it encountered a failed login, identified the error, and implemented a working fix in just 31 seconds. It essentially performed human-like lateral movement without a human ever touching a keyboard.
31 seconds. At that speed, the attack is over before the Security Operations Center even gets the first alert.
And the vectors are getting incredibly subtle. We're seeing what researchers call guard-fallen projects like the Hermes agent, where simple bash command substitutions can bypass regex-based security filters. Or the Gaslight malware on macOS, which uses deceptive strings specifically designed to trick the safety filters of AI-driven malware analysis engines. The attackers are literally gaslighting the defense's own AI.
I love that we've reached a point in cybersecurity where the malware is essentially a master of psychological manipulation.
It's even more insidious than that. According to cybersecurity headlines, attackers are now using SEO poisoning and schema markup to perform indirect prompt injection. They embed malicious instructions within hidden metadata on a website. When an autonomous AI agent crawls that site to fetch information, it inadvertently picks up the hidden command, like execute this unauthorized financial transaction, and executes it as part of its routine task.
So the very act of an AI agent doing its job browsing the web is the vulnerability. It's like a spy being trained to ignore any instruction written in red ink, only to find out the enemy has started writing instructions in magenta.
That's a great way to put it. And this extends to the very way we manage identity. The CISO Series podcast highlighted that agentic AI is essentially invalidating traditional zero trust and identity and access management frameworks. Traditional anomaly detection relies on the physiological impossibility of a human being in two places at the same time. But an agent can be in 1,000 places at once, executing legitimate-looking requests across 1,000 different sessions.
Wait, so if the identity we're protecting is no longer tied to a biological human with physical limits, the whole concept of unusual behavior just evaporates?
It does.
It creates these ticking time bombs of shadow AI, untracked models, or autonomous agents created by former employees that continue to run with valid credentials but have no clear owner. As David Spark pointed out, AI governance is becoming a visibility and inventory problem. If your marketing team is running a custom model in a silo that your security team doesn't even know exists, you can't apply NIST or ISO frameworks to it. You can't defend what you can't see.
It sounds like we're trying to police a digital ecosystem that is expanding faster than we can even map it.
We are. And the economic incentive for responsible disclosure is crumbling. As Steve Gibson noted, the cost of discovering vulnerabilities is trending toward zero. Why would a researcher spend months meticulously documenting a bug for a bug bounty program when an LLM can find it in seconds, and they can just dump it onto a public repository like the Exploratorium zero-day dump? We're seeing this YOLO era of vulnerability research where the goal isn't to help the vendor patch, but to simply publish the exploit and move on.
It's the democratization of chaos. You've gone from needing a PhD in exploit development to needing a decent subscription to a frontier model.
And the supply chain is the ultimate target. We're seeing the emergence of agentic pen testing platforms like XBOW, which can automate the entire discovery and validation process. The industry is shifting from a reactive patching mindset to a need for self-healing ephemeral infrastructure. Companies like Adobe are already moving to much more frequent, semi-monthly security advisories just to keep up with the velocity of AI-driven discovery.
It feels like the only way to win is to automate the defense to be just as chaotic as the attack.
That's the goal. The future isn't about stopping the agents. It's about building deterministic architectural guardrails like strict allow lists for domain resolution, so that even if an agent is compromised, its wild behavior is contained within a very small, very controlled box.
Security architects need to stop trying to build thicker walls and start building smarter cages.
The struggle is moving from how do we prevent the breach to how do we govern the autonomy.
Enterprise security leaders must pivot their budgets from perimeter firewalls to granular, behavior-based observability of all autonomous agents.
Keep a close eye on the frequency of uncoordinated zero-day disclosures on GitHub. If we see a spike in unpatched Linux kernel vulnerabilities without vendor involvement, the era of the automated exploit is officially in control.
But as we look at how these automated agents are starting to infiltrate our very identities, we have to ask, what happens when the credentials we trust are actually just the ghosts of departed employees? I was looking at my subscription list the other day, trying to figure out why I'm still paying for a streaming service I haven't opened since 2023. It's a small, personal digital mess, but it hit me how much more terrifying that is when it's not your bank account, but the foundational plumbing of the internet.
That plumbing is exactly where the crisis is centering right now. We are seeing a massive systemic shift where the primary target of an attack is no longer the enterprise itself, but the third-party software and the invisible glue connecting everything.
Which is a polite way of saying the attackers have stopped trying to kick down the front door and are instead just poisoning the communal water supply.
Look at the recent wave of breaches in Japan. As the record reported, the KDDI breach wasn't a failure of their primary mobile or fixed-line infrastructure. Instead, attackers exploited a vulnerability in a third-party software component used for their email system. This triggered an upstream cascade, because five other major Japanese ISPs, Cintnet, JCOM, Chubu Telecommunications, Nifty, and Biglob, all relied on that same platform. A single exploit compromised millions of emails across multiple distinct organizations simultaneously.
So one weak link in a vendor's chain doesn't just break that link, it creates a structural failure across the entire network. It's like a single rotten apple in a grocery store crate that somehow manages to infect every other fruit in the building because they're all touching the same cardboard.
It's even more insidious because the rotting is becoming harder to detect. Cybersecurity headlines noted that North Korean threat actors, active since December 2025, have evolved their supply chain tactics to include Git history rewriting. They are essentially manipulating the perceived age of malicious code within NPM, Go modules, and Chrome extensions. By rewriting the commit history, they make injected JavaScript loaders appear to be long-standing, legitimate updates that have been part of the repository for months or even years.
Wait, so you're telling me I can't even trust a last updated timestamp anymore? Developers are essentially being told to stop trusting their own eyes.
Two things stand out. The SANS Stormcast update from this Tuesday confirms that developers can no longer rely on visual inspection of Git history to detect these compromises. The sheer ease of manipulating the provenance of code means that the more efficient our open source ecosystem becomes, the more we are inadvertently inviting malicious code to slide into production via trusted updates.
It's the ultimate irony. We build these massive, interconnected libraries to save time and increase efficiency, but we're just building faster highways for much more sophisticated cars to drive through.
And the cars are getting more autonomous. We're moving into an era of agentic identity. As discussed in the recent ESW interview with Howard Ting and others, the rise of AI agents, tools that can act on your behalf, is creating a massive unmanaged surface area. We are seeing the emergence of AI zombies, unused or abandoned AI-driven cloud processes that continue to run, consuming resources and, more importantly, holding active permissions.
AI zombies. That sounds like a very expensive, very much preventable horror movie.
It's a real operational nightmare. CISO series highlighted that the introduction of these autonomous agents creates a new class of ticking time bombs. You might have an agent created by an employee who left the company 6 months ago, still running with valid high-privilege credentials. Because these agents often use the model context protocol to inherit or use human identities, you can end up with agentic chains where an initial authorized request triggers a cascade of autonomous actions across multiple agents, and the original user's identity and accountability are lost as the chain progresses.
The trail of breadcrumbs disappears halfway through the forest, and you're left with a rogue AI making decisions in your name.
It's even more complex when you look at the scale. Enterprise Security Weekly pointed out that the explosion of cloud permissions, reaching upwards of 50,000 unique permissions across the three major hyperscalers, has rendered manual identity management mathematically impossible. If a security team tries to spend even 30 minutes fixing one identity, the math simply breaks when you scale that across tens of thousands of overprivileged entities. This is why we're seeing a push for a default deny architecture that grants permissions dynamically, rather than the traditional failing model of least privilege that is currently buried under a backlog of remediation tickets.
It feels like we're trying to manage a sprawling, hyper-connected metropolis using nothing but a handwritten ledger and a magnifying glass.
And the metropolis is increasingly populated by non-human actors. CISO series noted that modern identity management is failing because it neglects the atomic component of identity, the human plus their distributed computing footprint. We're reaching a point where non-human identities, like service accounts and agents, already outnumber humans by over 30-1. When you add agentic identity, this hybrid category that is neither purely human nor purely machine, the governance model has to change entirely.
I can see the logic, but it sounds like the identity layer is becoming the new frontline. If you can't manage the humans, you have to manage the zombies and the agents before they start acting out.
That's exactly the pivot. We're seeing a shift toward universal logout or kill switch capabilities for non-human identities. The goal is to be able to immediately and universally terminate an agent's access the moment anomalous behavior is detected. We also need to move toward agentic identity governance, which involves continuous access reviews and the use of AI itself to identify and strip unused, overprivileged scopes from these agents.
It's a bit of a recursive loop, isn't it? We need AI to police the AI.
It is, but the alternative is much worse. Look at the security poverty line. Small and medium-sized businesses and even smaller government agencies simply don't have the resources to manage this. As we've seen in the broader supply chain, a vulnerability in a small, underfunded vendor can propagate risk directly into critical national infrastructure.
So the weakest link isn't just a metaphor, it's a documented economic reality.
It is.
Whether it's the use of the fat FS file system driver, which creates a massive long-term security debt because it lacks any patch notification mechanism, or the rise of vibe coding where AI-generated code makes auditing nearly impossible, the complexity is outstripping our ability to govern it.
Security architects need to stop looking for a better firewall and start looking at the fundamental way they authorize every single agent and identity in their ecosystem.
We need to watch for the first major widespread use of agentic chains in a large-scale breach, specifically where an attacker uses a legitimate, human-initiated AI workflow to move laterally into core ERP or CRM systems.
It's one thing to defend your own house, but it's another entirely when the neighbor's house is essentially part of your foundation. But that brings us to an even more coordinated threat, how nation-states are weaponizing these very same supply chain gaps to wage digital wars. I was reading earlier that the CIA is essentially trying to turn itself into a high-frequency tech startup, cutting its procurement cycles from 3 years down to 6 months. It sounds less like an intelligence agency and more like a desperate Silicon Valley venture capital firm trying to beat a deadline.
It's actually a fundamental structural pivot, Maya. CIA Director John Ratcliffe has been very clear that the agency is moving away from a risk-averse posture to aggressively adopt frontier AI. They've even restructured, transforming the Directorate of Digital Innovation into the Directorate of Mission Systems to focus specifically on hardening data architecture and infrastructure services.
They're pivoting from spycraft to system administration.
Worth noting, they are treating frontier AI models as digital nuclear weapons, strategic assets that require a specialized defense layer. But this shift is happening just as the global landscape is becoming increasingly bifurcated. We're seeing a simultaneous onslaught from profit-driven extortionists and state-sponsored actors targeting the very backbone of the global supply chain.
You mean like the Stryker breach? Nearly 4 million people notified because their medical data was compromised.
The implication runs deeper. Federal prosecutors have attributed that attack to Iran-backed hackers. It's a perfect example of the dual-threat environment. On one hand, you have groups like the Shiny Hunters operating for pure profit, and on the other, state actors targeting critical medical infrastructure to create systemic instability.
And it's not just medical data. It feels like the entire concept of information integrity is currently under siege.
In Ukraine, the situation has evolved into a dual-track digital and kinetic siege. Since the invasion, the SBU has neutralized over 16,000 cyberattacks, but Russian-linked hackers are successfully breaching media organizations, over 200 successful attacks since 2022. They aren't just disrupting service anymore, they are using a hijack and mimic strategy. They attempt to seize control of broadcasting platforms to broadcast propaganda disguised as authentic Ukrainian content.
They aren't just turning off the lights, they're replacing the signal with a deepfake of themselves.
So here's the picture, the physical component matches the digital. We saw the recent strike on Channel 5, where physical destruction of studios complements digital disinformation to erode public trust. It's a coordinated effort to erase the physical capability to broadcast while simultaneously poisoning the digital well.
Honestly, at this point, I'm starting to think the most secure way to communicate is via carrier pigeon. At least they don't have an API for model distillation.
Speaking of which, Risky, Biz reported that a distillation attack economy has emerged. Chinese labs are potentially using massive-scale fraudulent activity, involving roughly 28.8 million exchanges via 25,000 accounts, to acquire logs of US-based AI model interactions. This allows them to use that data to train their domestic models, essentially using a gray market to bypass the traditional intellectual property barriers.
It's an automated way to steal the brain of a competitor.
It's an upskilling mechanism, and this extends to the hardware level. CyberWire Daily noted that the surge in AI infrastructure presents a systemic risk to electrical grids. The highly dynamic, unpredictable, and synchronized power demand of AI training and inference threatens grid stability and frequency control. We are building massive, energy-hungry compute clusters on top of legacy electrical architectures that weren't designed for this kind of volatility.
It's a massive, uncoordinated power grab.
And the actors are getting more surgical. We're seeing the use of commercial spyware to target individuals like European Parliament member Stelios Kouloglou. By targeting investigators during critical legislative windows, specifically less than a week before committee hearings, state actors can use tools like Pegasus to provide real-time interference in democratic oversight.
Cybersecurity professionals need to start auditing the legislative calendars as closely as their firewalls.
They have to. Because whether it's North Korean Kimsuki groups using CHM files for malware delivery, or the passive sabotage tactics identified in recent Australian reports where attackers map networks for future precisely timed disruptions, the goal is the same, acquiring the high-level credentials necessary to strike when the timing is most catastrophic.
Security architects must treat all third-party software updates as potential entry points for mapping scale reconnaissance. Watch for any spike in unauthorized credential harvesting within energy sector administrative accounts, as that's the precursor to the grid destabilization we're seeing in the models. But this entire struggle for control over the network leads us to a much more personal crisis regarding how much of our own lives is being quietly harvested. I honestly think we should stop pretending the EU-US data privacy framework is a framework and just start calling it what it is, a legal hallucination. Alex, tell me I'm being too cynical about this whole broken trust in data issue.
It's not just cynicism, Maya, because the structural pillars are actually physically buckling. The record from Recorded Future News reports that the U.S. Supreme Court ruling on President Trump's authority to fire FTC Commissioner Rebecca Slaughter without cause fundamentally destabilizes the DPF by removing the independent oversight that is a non-negotiable prerequisite for transatlantic data flows.
Right, so independent oversight is just a polite way of saying a regulatory body that the president can fire whenever they get an annoying email.
Stepping back, that loss of independence triggers a domino effect. If the FTC isn't an independent arbiter, the legal architecture for transferring data vanishes. Max Schrems is already calling the DPF a house of cards and is actively pursuing legal action to invalidate it. This isn't just a legal debate. The economic stakes involve roughly 1.7 trillion euros in annual transatlantic trade.
So if the DPF dies, we aren't just looking at privacy notices changing, we're looking at a massive digital migration.
We're seeing pressure for an orderly declouding of Europe. As the legal foundation dissolves, European firms may have no choice but to exit US cloud infrastructure entirely to avoid noncompliance. Even French parliamentarian Philippe is calling on Commission President Ursula von der Leyen to cancel the DPF immediately because it's no longer legally viable.
It's a fascinating paradox. The EU is squeezed between a US judicial reality that ignores their privacy standards and their own regulatory obligation to protect citizens.
It also changes the nature of what we can even track. CyberWire Daily notes that the Chantry v. United States decision established that geofence warrants constitute a Fourth Amendment search. It proves that even if you voluntarily use an app, the depth of that location data creates a reasonable expectation of privacy that the court is finally acknowledging.
So the gates are closing on mass surveillance, but the walls of the DPF are falling down.
The architecture is shifting from broad access to targeted, fragmented legal battles.
European CIOs need to start auditing their reliance on US SaaS providers before the next major injunction hits. Watch for any formal move by the European Commission to declare the DPF invalid, as that will be the starting gun for the great declouding. But as these legal boundaries shift, the real vulnerabilities are moving even closer to us, into the very devices we carry in our pockets. Alex, is it even possible to have a secure network anymore if the very devices we use to watch Netflix are essentially acting as unpaid, malicious interns for botnet operators?
That's not an exaggeration, Maya. We're seeing a massive expansion of the attack perimeter where the threat isn't just a compromised laptop, but the entire IoT ecosystem. Krebs on Security reported that residential proxy nodes are now a dual threat vector. They provide attackers with obfuscated IPs for credential stuffing while simultaneously exposing your entire local network to lateral movement.
My smart TV isn't just a window into my living room, it's a backdoor into my laptop.
There's a signal here, the scale is staggering. Research shows that 42% of LG WebOS apps and over 25% of Samsung Tizen apps contain SDKs that effectively transform these televisions into proxy nodes. This is driven by an e-commerce market for unbranded streaming boxes that often come pre-installed with proxy software. It creates this always-on architecture where a device is recruited into a botnet without the user ever knowing.
And I assume this isn't just about stolen passwords. It feels like the actual plumbing of our devices is getting compromised.
The attack surface is moving into the low-level drivers. Cybersecurity headlines highlighted the TROJ technique, which uses pixel-level manipulations in video cables to emit radio signals, creating an 8.1 Mbps exfiltration vector for air-gap systems. We're also seeing a massive long-term risk from unpatched bugs in the FATFS file system driver, which can be exploited via physical media or remote firmware updates.
So the perimeter has effectively dissolved into our hardware.
Even mobile security is shifting. Application Security Weekly noted that defense is moving toward multi-lane verification, where developers use runtime signals to dynamically adjust friction, applying high-speed flows to trusted devices, but diverting suspicious rooted devices to much more rigorous human-in-the-loop verification.
Network architects need to stop assuming the home firewall is a hard boundary and start treating every connected endpoint as a potential pivot point. Watch for the first major widespread exploitation of the FATFS driver vulnerabilities in consumer IoT devices, as that will prove these file system flaws are no longer just theoretical. As we wrap up this week's digest, the common thread is unmistakable. We are witnessing the total erosion of the digital perimeter. We've moved far beyond the era of perimeter defense against human intruders. Today, we are staring down a reality where the very fabric of our software, from the Linux kernel to the NPM modules powering our enterprise apps, is being re-engineered by autonomous, non-deterministic agents. The boundary is no longer a wall. It is a shifting, probabilistic landscape where the distinction between a legitimate automated workflow and a malicious agentic intrusion is practically invisible.
That shift forces a massive recalculation for the CISO. The core implication here is that security operations can no longer rely on verifying who is accessing a system, but must instead focus on the integrity of the intent behind every transaction. For decision makers in critical infrastructure and cloud hyperscalers, the calculus has shifted from managing human credentials to policing a massive, unmanaged population of non-human identities. If you aren't moving toward continuous, behavior-based observation of these automated flows, you are essentially leaving the keys in the ignition of a self-driving vehicle that you don't control.
It's a high-stakes environment where a single vulnerability in a shared file system driver or a poison dependency can trigger a global, cascading failure.
Something to flag here, if you want to know if the shift toward automated, algorithmic dominance is officially accelerating, keep a close eye on the next major exploratorium zero-day dump. If we see a surge in automated, end-to-end exploits targeting the deep layers of the IoT ecosystem, it will confirm that the era of manual exploitation has officially surrendered to the era of the autonomous adversary.
Thanks for joining us this Tuesday. We'll be back next week with a new look at the evolving digital frontier.